Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
It's a great day on the Paula Price Show, especially because Dr. Paula Price is here. How are you doing today, Dr. Price?
I am doing fine, and I'm excited because guess what? We were just talking about how it seems that Thursdays, actually, are our sunny days of the week. That means that out here in Oklahoma, even God is smiling on our time here today. I noticed we've had very few rainy Thursdays or overcast Thursdays. Did you notice that?
That's true. Yes, the sun seems to shine a little bit extra on Thursdays.
Just a little bit extra. I love it. I'm looking forward to our Thursday today. It's a great time in the Lord. God is doing great things, and so I'm excited about that. As I was praying, you know, to the Lord, I've enjoyed our Thursdays here. I enjoy each and every one on the call today, and I even celebrate those who come back later. We hear people actually often telling us they come back again and again to listen to it, or they just log on to the site and continue to listen to them over and over again. That's such encouragement to me because that means that they're appreciating not only the experience of joining us on Thursday, but they're appreciating the wisdom and counsel. We often hear people say, and I think you've mentioned it a couple of times, how they tune in to listen and to just take notes and to get the wisdom. I mean, haven't you told me that on several occasions?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there are a lot of people on the line and on the internet, and not everybody who calls in has a prayer request. The system lets me know who wants to talk to you and who wants to listen, and there are a lot of people dialing in just to hear that wisdom and to get that counsel for their lives, the lives of the people in their ministry. They go through it, some of them in their own Bible study groups in their church. So I think the Paula Price Show makes its rounds every week.
And I love it, and I appreciate that because I know when I was starting out, I would have appreciated having something like this. You know, our archives are growing, and as you just said, people are using them for Bible studies and midweek services and all of those other kind of things because we are so issues-based, and we are not, you know, we're saturated with issues on, you know, culture, community, whatever. But every now and again, we need somebody who's interested in our personal place in this world and our issues that we're taking. So we appreciate that, too, as well as our callers. One of the things that the Lord has put on my heart is, and he started telling me, he gave me this statement yesterday. And he said, it's time for us to start making sense in God.
Oh,
you know, and isn't that powerful? I mean, if that's coming down, it's interesting. That's a mandate from Almighty God. Could y'all make sense of me? Could you start making sense in God? And so, you know, remember when we started our talk show way, way back, the one that we had way, way back, Let's Just Talk, our tagline was Where God Makes Sense. And it's like God is coming around again, asking his people to start making sense in him and to start making him make sense. Now, a lot of people aren't going to do that because it's very difficult for you to treat God as part of an institution, as part of a philosophy, as part of a theology or whatever, because those are all fixed venues for his wisdom. And so it's kind of difficult to do that. But for those that God is entrusting with his representation in this era, the number one thing he wants us to do is to make sense. To make him make sense. You realize that a lot of people are angry with God because they talk to counselors, Christian counselors or preachers or whatever, and got this senseless counsel and have followed it, and their lives fell apart. Things just fell off, you know. And they're like, well, does that make sense? No, it doesn't. And many of us don't even know what it is to make sense. And I think that's where we're stuck. You know, God makes sense. Today, he called it wisdom, but God makes sense. God makes sense because God has the answers. He's not answering our question the moment we hear it. He is releasing an answer that has always been. And so it's time for us to stop imposing our erratic thoughts and belief systems on someone who's been around forever. I don't think I've ever met anybody who's more practical than God, you know. But because now we've confused the matter with everybody's sense of or consciousness, whatever you want to call it, carrying equal weight, we can't imagine someone who has sorted out these issues, weighed the pros and cons, tested them over and over again, and walked away and said, aha, this works. Aha, this is why this works, because God makes sense. And we talked a little bit, Ashley, on Tuesday night about God's universal sense. God has a universal wisdom. You know, wherever you go, you know, you're going to have family, you're going to have business, you're going to have enterprises, et cetera. You're going to have things that work and things that don't work, things that work immediately but eventually fall apart, and things that don't work immediately but eventually work themselves out. And that's all a part of wisdom. And the thing that God has, in my mind, blessed me with and caused me to capture most about him is his wisdom. Because wisdom is not knowing, not just knowing, but it's knowing what to do with what you know, and to know why it works. You know, God has a passage in the book of Hebrews that is so interesting, and it's in Hebrews chapter 5 when he talks about the strong meat belongs to those who are mature, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to know both good and evil. Now, that is an interesting passage, and because in the beginning, that wasn't the issue. In the beginning, the problem was the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but it was always either or. You know, you had to know evil or know good. And so in the church today, most of us are like that. Most of the preaching we get is a matter of just knowing good and ignoring the fact that evil exists. You know, we're just going to ignore evil because, well, it's not our choice, and God has cleaned us up and purged us and purified us. So does it really matter if we understand the other side of the coin? Does it really matter if we understand the other way things go? And so in God's mind, that's not it. As a matter of fact, and I'm going this way for a reason, because I'm telling you, God really wants us to wrap our head around his wisdom. God's wisdom is not just on good. God's wisdom is on everything. What is good, what is not, what lives, what kills, what dies, what makes alive. He has all of it, the full spectrum. Because he doesn't get the luxury of saying, well, I'm just gonna worry about the things I like and everything else. I'm just going to ignore it, because if he does, his whole kingdom is gonna fall apart. And I don't know that that's not happening to us as Christians, that because we have made up our mind to just know our part of it and the parts we like, our preferences, that we are ignoring the rest is not causing us to suffer some sort of detriment. But in Hebrews 5:14, it says, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age or who are mature. Now, what does God define as a mature person? See, of full age or those who are mature. Even those who by reason of sense, he's saying those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, that is a powerful phrase, and I don't hear it preached a lot, and yet that's important. Now, there is a wisdom in that. Forget the religion, forget the morality, forget the judgment, condemnation. Let's just set all of that aside, and let's just sit down like prudent, judicious folks, and let's just say, what is he saying? And so he's telling us that the tough issues, the thorny things of life, the heavy things of life, the complex matters of life are going to come to those who understand them, but they are only going to be managed by God or handled with God's weight when we understand it. God's not going to give you more wisdom than you're going to use. He's not going to give you knowledge just because you want to know. You know, he's not going to be the curiosity seeker. Well, God, I just want to know this just for the sake of everything God does has a purpose. Every word he speaks, Jesus cursed idle words. He said we will give an account of every idle word. That's every impotent word we speak. So here the writer is saying, who by reason of use or because they use it. Now, so he's adding reason, he's adding use, he's adding senses. Now, here in the case of reason, it's not so much the logic as it is purpose or goal or objective. But I like the fact that he uses use, because that word, he said, when you are habitually practicing God's wisdom, whether it's a habit or whether it's a custom, the more you use it, the more he increases it. Now, because you are using God's wisdom, you're using his insight, you're using his knowledge and his ration and logic system, because you're using it, even if you just use a little bit of it, you'll get more. Jesus said that. He said, listen, it's always going to come back to you in the measure in which you have meted it out. And so I like that, but instead of having their senses exercised, and I think that is so powerful, because that's your judgment. That's your mental faculties. That's how you perceive things. That's how you understand things. And so God is saying, when you start applying your mental faculties, your processing, your perceptions to God's wisdom, you're not just going to know what good is, and you're not just going to know what bad is. You're going to be able to discern both in effect. You know, in the world, we always talk about this gray area, you know, man-made gray area. God doesn't have a gray area. There is no gray area in God, because there's either God or not. In his mind, it's either me or not. And we live in a world of a king. And when you live in a world of a king, in the realm of a king, which is what Christianity is, it's the king's realm. When you live in the realm of a king, everything is about the king. Everything is the king. There is no, there's the king and then there's not. That everything is about the king, and then the kingship, and then the kingdom. Even if you're going to overthrow the king for another king, everything is about the king. And so when you live in that world like that, everything they do, whatever the king thinks, feels, wants, likes, doesn't like, will like, gonna judge, not gonna judge, new laws, old laws, statutes, etc. All of those things are coming out of the literal person of the king, which is how Christians are supposed to be governed, by the literal person of Jesus Christ, his personhood, not just the things that we appreciate or approve. And so here we are when it talks about strong meat, you know, and really you're talking about, you know, the food, the nourishment. And also I like one of the things for that strong meat is that it's also the wages that come with it, like what it takes for you to get what you get. What it takes for you to be able to go to the store and walk out with what you need. And so God is saying to us that his wisdom is for those who are also aligning themselves with his way of life, with his stand on issues in life, how he thinks. I said previously, there's no gray area in God. There's God or not. God doesn't have black or white. Nowhere in Scripture do you read where God said it's a matter of black or white. He said it's a matter of me or Satan, light or dark. Good or evil, not colors. There's no shades of black. You know, it's either me or not, you know. And so now our job is to learn our king. But I wanted to bring this out because this good and evil piece is very important, not just because we're talking morality, because we keep making things a matter of just moral conduct. God doesn't even use moral in his language. We define it as such because morality belongs to a community. And it can be changed, which is what we saw in our recent law changes. Morality is changed by government and law, but righteousness is not. And it's God's righteousness that he's talking about. What righteousness meaning what I made, what I had in mind for what I made, how I wanted it to work, what I assigned to it as a blessing, and the penalties I attached to its perversion as a curse. It's what it's all about, King. And so God had to know both good and evil. When I was coming up in the 80s, the hot button was, don't worry about the devil's people. Don't worry about the devil. You just worry about God. Well, that's crazy because God is everything, and you have God has a real downside, meaning his downside being the enemy. So what did he say about Adam and Eve in terms of good and evil? Because it's important for us to get that. You know, and it's important for us to understand what he's talking about when he says it, because there's a major shift in how he says this coming down the line. And so I just want, you know, I really want you to get to go with it. He says here, you know, in Genesis, Genesis, because God has always said good and evil, but this first time he said he wanted us to handle both. But if you read Genesis 3:22 to see how things change from Genesis to Hebrews, it says, and the Lord God said, behold, listen to this, this is so powerful, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. Now lest he put forth his hand and also take of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Now, back then, Adam began to know evil existed because he was taken out because he only knew good. He only knew good. He did not know evil. That's why he didn't recognize the con that was being run on him, the game or the risk that he was waging when he was entertaining the serpent's proposals. So he only knew that. But now down here, we come all the way down to Hebrews 5, and he said, but we get to discern it. That's what he didn't have. He began to know it. You can know something and still not discern which one is working in your life. You can still not discern the values and benefits of the advantages of one and the detriments and the jeopardy of another. And that's where we are today in Christ. One of the reasons why we could not make good judgment calls and still can't make quality judgment calls in Christ is because we lack the discernment to know which is which. Not that we can't recognize it, but we can't discern the effects and the sources and the processes of it. And so when he talks about making sense in God, he's talking about discernment. He's talking about being able to judge, being able to estimate or gauge, being able to dispute and distinguish. So it's not a matter of saying, well, you know, like when you look at this, like a lot of our, like let's talk about the dress code. You know, the church, particularly the women of the church, have adopted the world's dress code. Now, the whole idea is that, well, I'm free because we're operating on with our freedoms. But God knows freedom has responsibilities and it has drawbacks. And so look, we have this whole dress code and we're like, well, everybody's doing it. That's our judgment center. Or, well, that's popular. That's the judgment center. Or that's the way it, that's the judgment center. God doesn't do that. He discerns why it's good or why it's not. God doesn't call it evil because you just decide you want to walk around and just, you know, expose yourself or do immodesty. That's not his issue. His issue is I have one standard of life. I have one code. I have, because I'm the king. I decided this, and I explored all of these possibilities. You know, I've explored every part of it. There's a reason why I did what I did in the garden when I covered Adam and Eve. Why? I understood this. And if we do not give God credit for being ancient of days, and if we don't give him credit for being eternal, immortal, et cetera, then his judgments will mean nothing to us. Because in our mind, they're non-existent ideas. God is not an ideology. His is the fruit of ages of experiences with various customs and morals and perversions. That's why he can label it. That's why he can say this is good and this is evil. A lot of times we wonder why God doesn't stop things from happening to us, because he needs us to have discernment so that we can make a decision at the onset of that thing, at the initial presentation, to say, you know what, this is not going to turn out for my good. This is not going to end up the way I want. This is a senseless thing. And so when you talk about the senses, you know, you're really talking about that part of you, and I love how they chose these words, that part of you that understands the meaning, the implications of things. And we don't want to think that deep. We want to think on the surface because we figure we're still locked in, you know, blissful blindness. Well, if I don't know, it can't hurt me. That's not true. Because you don't know, it has a greater effect on hurting you or a greater opportunity to do so. And so the last one I want to just talk about is when you're talking about your senses, you are, again, talking about your feelings, your perceptions and feelings about something that you want to undertake or that is seeking to overtake you. Think about it. You have to decide if what you're going to undertake is aiming to overtake you. And you have to think it through, which means we have to slow down. When God starts telling us about patient. He's not just saying, you know, I want to see how long you can hold out. I want to see how much we can bind your will up and just make you hold out. You know, like the dog that's waiting for you to put the food down, and you're just driving this animal crazy because you don't want to put the food down. You just want to see how long it's going to take for this dog to wait and before it gets frustrated. Well, see, that's not what God is doing. God wants you to understand how to master your world so that you can become a part of the mastery of it. This is all about you mastering. I've made you more than conquerors. What does that mean? Mastering your world so that you can become the mastery of his. Because in God's world, they don't have these issues. They don't have think tanks about, wow, now, should we wear long skirts or short skirts? Should we wear tight clothes or thin clothes? They don't have those kind of discussions. Why? That's all hat for them. They've already found out, discern the good and evil of that. He wants us to do that. And God wants us to make sense in him. We need to stop saying God told us to do this on Monday, change his mind on Tuesday, reverse himself again on Wednesday, and then again double back to Monday's judgment. That is not God. God the reason he cannot change his mind is because he's already settled the issues that we're talking about. They're already there. They're not even just there in our thoughts or what. They're there in his writing, in his archives, because his world is ahead of ours. God's world is ages ahead of ours, and we can prove that today scientifically, because you're talking about a star dying and us not finding out for thousands of years unless we get in the proximity of that event. So we have to, when you start thinking about how it works, making sense in God, make sure that if you're going to lay the blame on God for something, make sure that you have tapped into what he calls what he discerns to be good and evil. Because God is looking at a situation coming into your life, and he's looking at it from the source as well as the cause. See, there's a difference between source and cause. And so he's looking at that. He's looking at, just like God knew what was in that serpent, he knows what's in every temptation is coming, and he knows why. He also knows why he's not going to stop it or if he's going to intervene. He has to do this because God is making champions. He's making masters every day. Every day he's looking for the next giant, the next one that can emulate him in this world and model him in this world with wisdom and knowledge, not out of fear. God is not interested in you being afraid of sin. He's interested in you being a master. He told Cain, you need to rule over it, and you need to know why it's a problem. Not just because, well, I might not go to heaven. He's not interested in that. That is not God's goal for judging you. He is not interested in doing that. God is interested in conforming you and making you like him, that you will become a compatible citizen of his kingdom. Amen. Ashley, I got it out.
Yes, you did. And that was good. You know, it's I was just recently having a conversation with a friend of mine that I grew up with about the whole black and white gray issue. And we were just talking about the difference between going from a hardline denomination into the charismatic, and how growing up, everything was a solid line. And then when you kind of branch out into that, she said there were things I just was not prepared for because there were all these gray areas. And we were just talking about how we add the color gray, and God never did. And so we will shade a lot of things in the name of God. You know, we're just going to blend these things together. But he never did that. And when you were talking about God's world is ahead of ours, I think that's a hard thing for the saints to accept a lot of times, because in our subconscious, we really often think God is behind the times. And I think because we have to go pray, we feel like we have to inform God. Like our prayer is sending him a notice. Hey, Lord, I need this. You know? And so in our mind, we walk around with the subconscious notion that he's behind the times. Well, I mean, I don't know. Well, why don't you ask? Well, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of like, well, I ask him, then he's going to have to set some things in motion. He's going to have to see how he can put it in his schedule, how he's going to pull it out of his resources. And so it's like, our prayer initiates something in our mind, and then he has to catch up with what we are already living. And not that he's already ahead of the situation and is waiting for us to get a clue on how to make it work out. So when you talked about God's world being ahead of ours, I thought, yeah, that's a hard concept for us to resolve a lot of times, because the Bible is in, you know, ancient times. And so, well, that's clearly behind us. That's not current at all. And so there's a lot of these things that are happening. Jesus, well, he lived back then, so he really doesn't know what's happening right now. that filters into, sometimes subtly, sometimes not so subtly, our belief system and our outlook on how powerful God is or is not in our lives.
You know, that is that's a very good analogy, the way you presented it, because that, to me, I think it's a great statement of the issue, because that is what we feel. When you look at the things that people are forcing on the church today in the name of modernness, in the name of,
yeah,
of trendiness, it is amazing. I have to tell people, do you think it's new that, wait a minute, you think it's new that, we have, you know, the gay agenda, the homosexuals, you think that's new? You think theft is new? You think crime is new? Adultery is new? All of that is in your Bible. If we ever, if we stop telling the upside of the Bible, started telling the whole part of it, it would read like the movies of today. You know,
yeah,
there are some incidents in the scripture, boy. I mean, that woo, where if you we portrayed that thing the way it really did, people would understand what God was addressing. We can't relate to that because we have purged the Bible for God. See, we purged the story. So now, you know, we've got, you know, Daniel and Lion's Den, and that's nice, that's nice. But the whole era, the consciousness of the Persians back then, their culture, those cultures that we're creating, these are antiquated culture. The culture that America has just entered is antiquated. It is not modern. It's an ancient culture. It goes all the way back to the beginning of time. And the question becomes, what happened to the nations that began those cultures? Because we're day to day. Because that's how we can figure out the outcome. But again, because we, the church, have purged the Bible, and then we've locked Christianity into the doors of the church where everybody is behaving in public, we don't know God's issues. And then when you talked about mentioning, again, that whole piece about God being ahead of us, you realize science has proven, and I have a bunch of these little apps on my iPad, I absolutely love them, that there are planets that are ahead of us. There are planets whose times are faster than ours. And they're way ahead of us, and we won't catch up for ages. We launched a shuttle, and we tell you, well, it'll get there in about 70 years. The people who are launching it may not be around, but we know
mm-hmm.
it's going to land. Now, think about that, because if we understand that from our world outward, then how much more should we appreciate the fact that God is not waiting for our situation to answer it, that he's already done this thing. He slowed us down. He didn't stop. God is not time. He has no time. He's just him, you know. He slowed us down. And for us to pray and think that our prayers are igniting God's answers is really unrealistic. What it's doing is it's opening the way for God's providence to finally hit us on time. And it's about teaching us how to move the spiritual resources of his kingdom. It's not about God proving that he's God. God's like, I'm going to be God if you were never born. I was God before you were born. I'll be God when you're dead.
Okay.
And our world keeps going on. We have all of these planets. If you look at just in our solar system, we won't even talk about getting out of our solar system. They're not on our time zone. In our own world, we got how many, 10, 12, I don't know how many time zones, you know, depending on which article you're reading. We have several time zones. You know, we're on the phone now. Right now, Ashley, we have people who are waiting for lunch to hear from us. We have people who are just getting up and hearing from us. We're at 11 o'clock, but there are different time zones around the world. So it can't be about a clock. It can't be about a day. And it can't be about an era. It has to be about the seasons of God and how he is making it happen. You know, when we do our apostolic prophetic Bible study, we explore these things. So I'm not going to go any deeper in that, but I thought that's really interesting how we keep saying that God is old and that he's outdated, when in fact, God, where the enemy is taking us, is old and outdated. God always came from the future. Jesus came back in time. He came from being Omega to come back in Alpha, our redemption. He was already Omega when we started out. So he came from,
yeah,
he left Omega land to come back in Alpha, the cross, and Alpha, the redemption. And he chose the most archaic time because that's a whole other thing. We'll just save that for another talk. But we have to stop thinking that because Jesus chose a particular era, that that's when heaven began. Heaven didn't begin in that era. They were already done, which is why he can tell you how this is going to play out and that he's going to be there when the last human being to be born and say Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God is born and ready to return to come into heaven. That's how we have to think. And if we thought that way, all of you all who are out there, you have Bible studies. I'm going to give you a wonderful challenge. Your Bible studies, you've got intercessors classes and all of that. Every one of you, I want to give you a challenge. Sit down and hold maybe a couple of days think tank with your people and say, if we looked at the scripture the way Jesus said it was and realized that Jesus came from the end of God, not even the end of our time, from the end of God to come back to do the cross and to beget us in a particular season, what are the implications of that for Christianity, for the world, for its culture, and for the generations? Answer that question. I guarantee you, you will have lively conversation and you will have lively sessions for quite some time because it's that answer that determines what's right or wrong, what's good or evil in God. Hallelujah. Ashley, was that good or what?
That was great.
Give you a challenge. I like to give you all a challenge because you know we have to think differently, making sense in God. That sounds like somebody ought to write a book on that. Okay, guys, why don't y'all write a book?
Oh, okay. We'll get right on that, Dr. Price.
Hallelujah.
And then we'll wait for your book.
On making sense in God. No, I'll just say that to somebody else to do it. But, hallelujah. Anyway, do we have callers today, actually?
Oh, yeah, you have callers now.
Ah, good. I love the callers, and I love Thursday, but I always like to give the admonishment because it's time for us to start thinking differently in God. It's time for us to start thinking sensibly in God, and I believe that that's what this next move is. You know, when God was getting me ready for this time, he said to me, sobriety is going to be it. Two words, sobriety and stability. He said, stability will be your times, and sobriety is going to return to my house. That's just a nice prophetic segue to my first caller.
Well, praise the Lord. We have on the line from California, talking about a different time zone, Raul. And he's calling because he needs direction, God's direction in ministry. He said he's having some opportunities pop up for him and needs to know which way is the Lord. So, Raul, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Great. I am great. I'm glad that you called me today. How can I help you?
You know, well, you've preached and taught a lot of right now about the wisdom and having the discernment and the understanding and patience of the Lord. I mean, I think you've kind of, wow. I'm pretty amazed. A lot of those things I didn't hear. Kind of, I've never heard it preached or taught like that. I'm blessed. But I called because I need prayer. I want to be completely in the will of God. And I recently came back to the Lord about a year and a half ago. And I'm really plugged in my church. The pastor put me as the head of the intercessory prayer. The church I'm presently attending has been kind of lacking a youth minister. I'm kind of helping out there. They're starting a Spanish church. They want me to help out there. And I'm kind of being pulled in these directions. I feel that I'm capable of doing it, but I don't know, to be honest with you, if that's what really God wants of me. I want to please him and whatever he wants me to do.
But let me ask you this, because first of all, I can tell you right now, they're way overusing you. Have you had any ministry training or anything like that?
I had it in the past, but like I said, I just came back to the Lord about a year and a half ago. I was backslidden for 6 years. Okay. I had training back in the early 90s, and I was backslidden for 6 years. I literally almost lost everything. I came back to the Lord now, and God's been restoring my life, my marriage. I got nothing to lose anymore but other than to serve God.
Okay.
It's not like they have put me in these positions, but they're like wanting. I kind of got a feeling that God's leading me in one, definitely one aspect of that. The intercessory prayer, I've been doing it, And I was actually doing it before the pastor put me in that position. I was praying in the room before every Sunday morning service where they take all the crying babies. I used to go in there before the service started. I would pray for the pastor, pray for the leaders, pray for a move of God. And I guess they were hearing me. I didn't know. So when the time came and they needed somebody, he appointed me. But well, I go ahead.
I want to say this to you, Raul, because I'm going to tell you, you are one of those really highly spiritual, talented young men. You're called. You have a great call on your life, and there is no question about it. One of the things that we tend to do with people when they exhibit a great call, because our needs are great, is that we overburden them coming out the gate. You know,
yeah.
you're saying for a year and a half you're trying to come back with God. You realize that if you did that, that did the math on that year and a half that you're back versus the 6 years you were gone, you realize that you need a little more time for you and God to clean up some things. Because here's where God has to go with you. He has to go with not the fact that you were backslidden for 6 years. That was all of that was like symptomatic. That was like the outcome, if you will. God has to deal with what pressed you so. And I want you to go back into that world. We may not do it today on this call, which is fine. But you have to figure out what made you leave God for 6 years. What? Because, see, we don't know that you dealt with that. We don't know that if we get down the line 5 years from now, 6 years from now, if that thing is still there, whether it was frustration, fear, temptation, anger, disappointment, you know, and it's not always lust like we think. You know, it's not always that. Sometimes it's a matter of confusion, delusion, whatever. But we need to look at what made you throw up your hands in God, while you were in God, because you said you were getting training, and I would eventually say they were probably pressing you a lot then. You were getting training, et cetera. And then suddenly you just walk away from somebody that you love. Nobody does that without a good reason. So I'm going to tell you, I'm going on the record to say that I think, A, they're putting you in too many things, or right now you needed to sit for 2 years or 3 years because you don't know if you're free. You hope you're free. You hope it's going to last. And the reason being, we haven't dealt with what the issue was. Now, you are called, and here's why I'm saying this to you. Now, this may not be everybody's story, but you have a sound to your voice and a sound to your spirit that is full of promise and purpose. Everything about your sound has this ring of promise and purpose. We're not the only one hearing it. You see what I'm saying?
Okay. Yeah.
And because we're not the only, your pastor's hearing it because we're hearing it in the kingdom, but they're also hearing it in the other kingdom. And so when you begin this rise again, is that sound and purpose going to, this time, resist the same trial and the same test that came the last time?
Yes.
And that you have to know from your gut, because when you know from your gut, this is how this call would go. You know what? I remember when I was at so-and-so place the last time, and I was doing this and I was doing that, and all of a sudden this thing came over me. I ended up leaving God for 6 months. I had to figure out what happened to me. I had to work my way through that and understand why I did that, on and on and on. And you cannot just say, hey, God, I'm back, and just fall into it enthusiastically. And sometimes the church wants to be God's redemption center. We want to say how free you are. We want to say how delivered you are. We want to say how sorry you are or how ready you are to get back in the swing of things. And I frankly think between you, me, and the Holy Ghost that they're pushing you too soon. And I frankly think that you have to answer those questions. And I'm glad you called me today because you have to answer those questions not for God and not for your pastor, but for yourself.
Okay.
Because when this wait, because they're getting ready to drown you. I can see that big time. They're getting ready to drown you because you have that sound. You're the sound of the young person that the church eats up, sucks up, and leaves nothing but the shriveled skin behind. And if
prior to me backsliding in 2004, 2005, I was all about the ministry. I was neglecting kind of my wife, my family. I got two beautiful daughters. And I just thought it was about that. There was a lot of things I kind of neglected as in my personal relationship with the Lord at that time that I took for granted. And this time that I walked away from the Lord and I've come back, I've realized some of those mistakes I made. And I don't want to make those mistakes. And one of them is just about being, it's not just about always being in ministry. I'm not going to allow myself to be dictated by man and to be thrown over here and thrown over there. Like I said, I realized this position as a youth minister has been vacant for a year. 7 years ago, I would have jumped on it. You know, but now I am praying for God to put the appropriate person that person is to be. So I'm kind of like holding back my horses, and it's hard.
Listen to me.
Go ahead.
Listen. I want you, because see, we're talking now on a different level. So you're going right where I want to go. You have no idea that you just confirmed everything I said.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you why. Because your first response to pressure was leaving God.
Yeah.
That is the problem. See, it wasn't just about, well, I neglected my wife, I neglected my kids, and all of that. Because, truthfully, if you had been in your time and season for ministry, God would have dealt with your family to bring them along.
Yeah.
Because when God calls us to heavy ministry, he works in our families.
Yeah.
Okay, so your first response, and that's where I'm at, you just answered my concern. Your first response to all of the pressure and all of that was leaving God, falling into sin. So you have got to deal with why that was your first response.
Yeah. But this time my wife is totally on board with me, and we're more in unity about doing things like that now.
This is
and
not
my
about
children.
Your wife. This is not about your wife. I want you to hear me. Come on, God, give him an ear to hear. Give him an ear to hear what I'm saying. Open up his ear, God. This is not a put down. This is an issue we all have to face.
Okay.
Because I'm speaking to you as somebody 30 years in this thing, and I'm telling you, if I took a poll of everybody on this phone call right now, that 2/3 of them would say, we know that's going to happen to you again. We know that temptation is going to come again. We know it. And most of them will tell you that they've had to face it, because that comes with the territory. I'm not talking to you about your weaknesses. I'm talking to you about what comes with the territory.
Okay.
You know, you have to, you know your enemy. And one of the things we in ministry don't do is know our enemy. We know our ministry, but we don't know our enemy. We know our goals, but we don't know the assaults and the temptation. See, that's where God is. And so I'm saying to you, that God wants to visit you in another dimension that has nothing to do with serving. I want to know if you can say, I can sit down if God tells me. I'll sit down for 3 or 4 years if that's what he wants, to make me into what he wants me to be. Instead
Amen.
Of aggressive, I got to do, got to do, got to act, got to pray, whatever. You understand?
I agree
with you. If you understood what God did, if you really understood what happened to you, you would not have allowed them to put you in something as sensitive as intercession, because that's going to take your house out.
Yeah. No, I agree 100%.
Because, see, right now, when you're going to go and stand for an organization, you better know home base is tough and tight. When you're going to go and engage the forces on a church, you better know home is tough and tight.
Yeah.
We treat intercession like it's midweek prayer, and it is not. Intercession is literal and regular engagement of the forces of opposition that are pursuing the object of our prayer.
Amen.
And that's a big call. So that's why I'm concerned. If you were to tell me they put you with the youth, I could have rolled with that. But intercession, no, I don't know that you're strong enough to do that. I don't know that your family is ready to take on the spirit of it's your family and your survival and then that of the church.
Mm-hmm.
That's
okay.
A big call, and that's why I answered you the way I did. I needed you to understand that they did you no favor.
Okay. And I've been doing it for about 6-7 months now.
Hey, it doesn't matter how long you do it. I'm telling you what I know. I'm telling you that if the reason that you're calling is because God is triggering something in you for curiosity. So that's number one. The next thing I would say to you is that if you're going to do anything else, you are going to have to yourself decide what God wants you to do. If you feel intercession is what you should do and you should lead the intercession of that church, hey, you roll with that, okay? Now, me personally, I want seasoned folks interceding. I want people with a track record of victory, a track record of winning, people who have taken faced off with devils like mine in business and ministry. I want powerful folk at the top of my intercession. I want somebody that knows how to fight a war and win and has fruit in the earth to take over my intercession. Because I don't need the fruit in your heart right now. I need the fruit in the earth. I need to know that when I get into trouble and when stuff starts coming at me left and right, or when my church gets in trouble and my organization starts taking hit, I need to know that you are strong enough, bulky enough in the spirit to ward off all of that. Now, that's me personally. That's my personal feeling. Now, that is what, that's my years of experience. I don't want a newcomer at the head of my intercession. I don't even want a newcomer on my intercession's team. I'll put them in a prayer group. I'll put you in the Wednesday prayer group and watch you grow. But when it comes time for securing this thing, I'm going to need a good security force. I need a peacekeeping force that can keep the peace and then restore it. Now, that's me. But I want to tell you that because if this is your calling, then I need to give you some cast and vision for you on where you need to go to survive it. Because 7 months or 7 years, when this thing hits, it will hit. Because every war, if intercession is warfare, every warrior gets hit.
Yes. Okay.
That's my concern. So now if you decide to do that, then I'm telling you, and I'm not telling you to quit. I'm just telling you what's coming. And I know I'm not wrong on this one. Now, the next thing, the youth ministry, I can see you starting with that, and that's provided you are at a place that you can deal with all of the issues that they have. See, it's not about your ministry. It's about whether or not you can survive what you're undertaking.
Yes.
Because everybody's coming with their own devils. They're coming with their own history, their own experiences. And we, the church, don't teach like that. We teach from what you can do, not from what needs to be done and what the people are bringing to you. We do that in the church. We don't. We say, oh, man, like he said to you, oh, my gosh, you can pray powerfully. That's what we can see. So we're operating on what we can see. What we don't know is what the forces you're aiming at are seeing and engaging.
Yes.
And we should know that. And so I think that if you want to do anything, I would do that. The first thing I would tell you, Raul, is that if you haven't done this, to take my assessment, drpaulaprice.com, take an assessment. It's going to answer a lot of your questions. What you're going to get is you're going to get an assessment, and then after the assessment, you're going to get an advisement. You'll get a chance to talk to one of my advisor prophets who are going to go through your assessment with you and then help you work through some of these thorny issues. And it won't be on a few-minute phone call. As far as helping with the Spanish church and all of that, I'm telling you that they are going to send you back into Crazyville.
Yeah. Okay.
So if you decide to do the prayer thing, you better make sure that that's what you do. And there's nothing wrong with doing one thing long enough to do it well.
Yeah.
And to secure your house. But I will tell any of you out there who are listening, it is talking about being an intercessor versus talking about praying with the weekly prayer group. That's two dimensions of prayer that engages two different types of spiritual forces. We need to know what we're telling people to do and what we're throwing them into. I would suggest that if I had to tell you anything, I would start with the youth ministry, and I wouldn't let them make me a pastor. I would just be a youth minister.
Okay.
But I would strongly urge you to take that assessment. I think you're going to be great at it. And again, my concern for you is not because you can't do it. You are a gifted child. I gave birth to a couple of gifted children. Gifted children can do everything. They can do anything they put their mind to do, but just because they can do it doesn't mean that they can sustain it, or doesn't mean that they're better for the doing.
I agree.
And you are gifted, and so you're going to have to be the great. You're going to have to be a. I hear God giving me this word for you. You're going to have to be a watchful custodian over your gifts and treasures, because people are going to see you and immediately want to engage you.
I believe that 100%. Thank you.
And that's what I feel about you. I want you to get in your place. I'm going to tell you right now, the Holy Spirit is saying to me, it's going to take you a good 7 years to get into your place. Now, that 7 years is going to allow your marriage to get settled, your children to grow up, you to get them through those years that they need you the most. It's going to take you and for you to discover the real man that's hidden down in you. And there is a man in you have not met.
Hallelujah.
And he is an amazing man, and he's a man that's going to be a good tutor, a good mentor to God's sons and daughters. but you have got to not let them so wear you out that you are fatigued to the point that you have no hedge, no shields up, no guards up to defend yourself from backlash and temptations that come from doing ministry, period.
Amen.
I think that what happened, you were fatigued, and what you thought was one thing was something else. And you did not know it was something else until you got in it. And that's my concern for you. That's, I can hear it, and I've been having raised up so many young folks and dealt with them over the years, I know the sound in your spirit, and you are one of God's future lights and giants. Do not let them drain you dry.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Can I pray for you?
Yes, please.
Hallelujah. Father, thank you so much for Raul and for all of those out there like him, these young stars and bright stars that we want to make celebrities before they even find out that they are luminaries and they can illuminate. God, I thank you for touching him and even leading him to call. Now, I'm asking, God, that you visit him and you establish in him what you want. I thank you that he hears your voice now on this issue clearer than he's ever heard you before. And, Lord, that he yields to your spirit to be led and guided by you. I'm asking, God, that you also continue to strengthen his wife. She's a lovely, lovely, lovely young woman, God, whose heart is yearning for you. And I'm thanking you, God, for blessing her life and causing her and him to be good custodians over the spiritual treasury that you've entrusted to them. I'm asking you also, Father God, to touch his pastor and to give his pastor a true sense of the sheep that he's got in his care and to know how to use this sheep as well as the rest of them, God, and to give him a nurturing spirit to understand that outward show is not enough to make a determination on inward capability or stability. So I'm asking that you would cause him to think about these as he begins to go forward and build this work that you've given him in the name of Jesus. Now, I bless you, Raul. I bless you with ministry visitations from God. I bless you with visions. I bless you with resources. But most of all, I bless you with wisdom and prudence in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Okay, listen, don't forget, take that assessment. I really would like to see who God made you on paper.
Oh, I definitely will. I definitely
God
will.
Okay.
Thank you for
Bye-bye.
Your time. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Ashley.
Well, amen. That was so good. I didn't even get anybody else. I mean, there's somebody else lined up, but now I have to go get on the wire with the people. That was good. I couldn't get off listening.
Well, we've lived that a lot. You know, oftentimes, Ashley, I like to tell them that I got you all as young college kids. You know, probably did was, what, 19? You were 21? I mean, I got most of you all around that between 19 and 20 years old, and I did not wear you out. I mean, people would come and prophesy to you. I was like, no, not yet, because I'm a real mom, and I don't throw my teenage children out like that. I look at these stage moms today, and I thought, you all are living your past and your child's present, so that you, and as a result, you're going to devastate their future. I don't do that. My daughter was gifted, and, you know, you know the story. They wanted her to go to New York. She was a very talented young woman, teenager, wanted to go to New York, go and put her in commercials, and she would have, you know, had a good shot while she was in school. You know what I said? No, you're going to finish school. And you know what? If this is God, it's going to be there for you when you get out of school. But what I'm not going to do is throw you to the wolves because you don't know how to survive. Now, I realize that some parents don't agree with that, and some kids are more capable than others. I will give that as a possibility. But I do know this much. And, we're pushing this thing over and over again. Not everybody has the soul to succeed, and they don't have the soul to succeed at the level we want to push them. And I think that pastors and church leaders are more heavily charged with taking care of the imperceptible and the invisible sides of people than even the secular world is. It can only go on what it sees. But we're supposed to be able to see beneath the surface and to see where God's people are and what we can do with them. And sometimes we get so caught up in pushing our own ministries that we forget that these are people who have a long life to live. You know, they're not just going to, you know, I'm not going to just eat you all up in that first 5 years. I mean, it must have taken me, I don't even know how many years before I started really telling you, okay, yeah, guys, guys, I need to get you to do something. Guys, come on, let's do it. And all that time I was training you and grooming you. Why? Because I know God needed lasting fruit and enduring fruit. And that's what I hear from this young man. He's so gifted and so talented and so empowered by God. He is full of the power of God. And I realize that a lot of people, it didn't matter, but if the fruit, the outcome was not the effect that was going to bring people closer to God, then obviously that was a hasty call. I won't say bad call, because sometimes calls are good, they're just out of season.
Yeah, well, people have been telling us as a praise team for at least 8 years, you need to record, you need to record, and you had told us all the time. But you have to be able to sustain the pressure of your success. Thinking about that, we're like, oh, no, we're not ready. We're trying to sustain the pressure of graduating college and having a job and doing this. No, no need to rush.
And then when you got out of college, it was still the same challenge, you know? And because, I mean, I'm not saying that no young people are ready, because they are specially gifted and specially talented young folks. So because I don't believe that anything is all or every. That just is an impossibility. Nothing is all or every, not even God. God is not all or every in that sense. I mean, he's not going to be all sin and all righteousness. He's God. But I want to say to you all who are out there, make sure that your young people can make it. Ashley, remember we had a situation, I'm going back a few years, where this person was taking all of these young people on a trip overseas, and God gave me a word saying, that's not going to work. Man, those kids got sick. They came back. They fell into all kinds of craziness when they came back. They couldn't get their, some of them are still not getting their life together. Because knowing what a person can do and knowing when they're ready to do it effectively and successfully, that's two different streams of knowledge, and I would love for us to know the difference. Well, anyway, yeah. Do I have another call?
You do. You know, I thought I lost her, but I found her in the lineup. This is Karen. I did. I was like, oh, no, she's gone, and she's back. Karen from Virginia is on the line, and she would like prayer today for a job. She needs to know what job she needs to pursue. So, Karen, welcome to the Paul Price Show.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. How are you doing, Dr. Price?
I am wonderful, Karen. How are you doing today?
Fantastic. I'm just calling for prayer today. I just need some direction and where I'm going right now. I'm putting some things together for myself and trying to move some things out of my home and everything like that. And I just need prayer this morning.
Well, I understand. Karen, you have an amazing speaking voice. And a lot of capacity for public speaking. Is that what you do?
I preach every once in a while.
What is your profession then? What is your professional training?
I'm a chaplain at a hospital. I haven't done that in a while, but I've been taking care of some family members who have been disabled.
Well, you know, if ever I can tell you that you're someone who shouldn't have come off the front lines, you're one. You have an amazing, amazing call. Sometimes we do things that for family, and I well understand that, but sometimes it's for us to do, and other times it's for us to get somebody else to do it and oversee it. And so, you know, you have a great call for touching the public and tapping in to the public. I hear training in you. But I also hear, I don't know what this means for you, but I hear overseas ministry. You are supposed to be traveling, and I see you're a very missionary-minded woman. At least it's in your spirit. Maybe you haven't heard from God on it yet. But that's something that you need to look forward to down the line, that God wants to use you in the nations. There are some, I see you building up in various countries, particularly third world countries. I see you building up like houses and things for kids. You have a builder's anointing. As a matter of fact, you're quite apostolic. And so I just think God wants you to rethink your domestic vision and open it up a little larger. For you, truly God means to disciple the nations. I think you need training and negotiation and mediation, because you have the ability to conciliate a lot of things. And so I hear God saying to you, broaden up, go beyond just I'm going to preach, because for you, preaching is probably going to be coincidental more than anything else. So you didn't expect that, did you, honey?
No, I didn't. And you know, it's funny you said that. Would you repeat that last phrase one more time, please?
The last phrase is that preaching is going to be more coincidental for what God wants you to do. God needs you to do building projects and restoration projects for people and families, and not just I'm going to go and pray and help you, and the chaplain's wonderful, I'll help you in, I'll help you out the world. No, God has, that was all foundational stuff. You're one of those people that your ladder is going to be greater because God has a greater work for you to do, and you needed all of that journey of experience to do it. So, I think that's what God is calling for you.
Amen. Dr. Price, I'm going to say this. I've been going through some really serious changes in the last 7 or 8 years. I know there had to be some kind of training going on, and I wasn't quite sure what it was. I thought God was I was putting me more in deliverance and healing. I know I have a healing anointing on me, and I thought he was putting me in deliverance as well. But I do have a hunger for missions, and I really like when you're talking about the restoration and building. That is one of the things I really like doing. I like doing things like that for people. So that's something I need to look more into.
Yeah, you should. And I'll tell you something that's so interesting. The reason that because we stay in our circle, and if I prayed for you for anything, I pray that God takes you out of your religious circle. Your religious circle has stifled you and it has confined your vision and stunted your intelligence and your intellectual ability to apply that wisdom to a bigger picture in God. I'm going to pray for God to get you out of this small circle. I want to see him put you in a circle where you see the bigger hand of God and the bigger things that God can do. And you need to be connected with people who are like that. Now, initially, you're not going to want to do this because all of your old anointings and stuff are going to kick up. But if you ride this connection out for 6 months, you're going to find yourself falling right smack dab in the middle of destiny. Because right now, the circle you're in, when we feel more anointing, the only thing we think it means is for us to, like you said, deliverance, healing, preaching. No. Some of those anointings are for more than just a church service. And we have to, as the ministers of the future, enlarge our church perceptions. It is not always for a church service that you're getting more anointed. I, for example, get an amazing anointing when God's getting ready to give me a new project. Well, I've been with him long enough to know, okay, so now you're going to give me something else big to do. And, you know, after I pick myself up off the floor and go through the typical machinations of humanity, I get on with it. I know when I get an anointing to write a different book or to write a different dimension. I know when I get a traveling anointing. We have got to stop thinking that every anointing is about the local church and a church service.
Mm-hmm.
And for you, that's why you went through, because it didn't come out, so it turned in on you.
Yes.
So I want you to know, I'm praying, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking that you, whatever she's gone through, God, we right now put a moratorium on her trials and on this backlash that she's had. And I'm asking, God, that you give her renewed strength, renewed fervor, renewed energy to go forth in this new dimension. And, Lord, connect her with the people who are part of her vision. God, you have some amazing organizations that she needs to plug into to go out and do this mission thing. And let her know, Father God, she does not have to do it alone. She does not have to start it from scratch. That you have a lot of things going on that she can do right now, she can plug into. So God, I'm asking that you would connect her to see the bigger side of you, the bigness of your hand on her life, and for her to go in, God, and to really unearth the treasures and the abilities and the talents that she has that if she doesn't get into this new place, will never see the light of day in your service. So I bless you for that, God. I bless you for her to really examine going to the nations in one of these organizations or several of them that you have, God, to use these treasures. She does not even know, Father, the richness that's buried inside of her, the flickering lights that are even now, trying to burn out because they don't have a place to illuminate. But God, I'm asking you to do it for her in the name of Jesus. And I release sustenance for her, financial sustenance for her to go forth and do what you need, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. I thank you for that prayer. And the prophetess, please have them send me the tape.
It's on Blog Talk. She's going to tell you how to get it. You can go all back right and listen to it again and again and again.
All right. Praise the Lord. Thank you so
praise
much. God bless you.
You too. God bless you. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Prophet?
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Anybody, you can always go to blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show. And it's posted all over Facebook. If you're on our mailing, our e-blast list, you will also get it through that too. But that's blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show. All of the shows that we've done so far are available. And now the most recent show, the Thursday shows, will be the feature show at the top.
Great. So that means that when you all talk to me, you don't have to have your phone on record. Hallelujah. Because, you know, that echoes and bounces back at me. And I keep wondering if it's something wrong with my line. You don't have to do that any longer. Just make sure you go and you can listen to all of them. I understand, Ashley, correct me if I'm wrong, they're downloadable. They can actually get their own segment.
Yeah, some people can download them to their computers and some people can't. It really depends on your browser. And how that is set up. On one of my computers I can, on another one I can't. So, but you can always go back and listen to them as many times as you like.
Absolutely. And put your own recorder next to it, you know. Hey, God
yeah.
is able. I'm loving technology. But, you know, actually, isn't it wonderful to talk with people like Karen and to hear God say, you know, I'm doing a new thing. I think that for us who are today listening, we're going to have to come out of that strictly ecclesial model, that strictly local church, you know, front of the church model. Okay, well, I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to pray more. I'm going to preach more. Maybe I'll get more days to preach. Or there are things that God needs the wisdom and the prudence and the experience of his children to do for him in other areas of the kingdom. You know, that's the wonderful element about the kingdom. The kingdom is not narrow. The church, you're pretty limited. You're pretty restricted. But there are things that he needs us to do in the kingdom. And as she was talking, I was looking at all of those places that go overseas. And it doesn't have to be, well, we have to start it ourselves. Because if you try to do that, my goodness, you still won't answer your call for 10, 15 years. But I just think it's marvelous. And with her, I saw that God has a great work for her to do outside of the church. While her hands-on work with the people who are really in need of her particular flame and the kindling that he has in her. I think that's such a great thing. Such a great thing. Well,
excellent. Do
I have another call? I tell you what I'll do. I will take another call, and then we'll take a break. How's that?
Sounds good and sounds good. All right.
Oh.
We have new on the line, at least talking to you, Rod, from Arkansas. And he is calling in today, Dr. Price, because he would like guidance for his future. So, Rod, welcome to the call. You are live with Dr. Price.
Hello.
Hi, Rod.
Hi.
How are you?
Are you there?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
God bless you, Rod. How are you doing?
Doing well. And you?
I am doing very well, extremely well today. The sun is shining, Jesus is blessing, and I get an opportunity to bless you on the line. How can I help you?
I've just been praying, you know, about I'm the minister of music at my church, and been just trying to learn the structure of music and the structure of the Word of God, the Bible and things like that, and work and take care of my family. You know, it's hard trying to balance it all.
Yeah. It is hard. And you know what? Do you think that – I will answer your question with a question, if you don't mind me asking you. Let me ask you this question, Rod. Do you feel that you as a minister of music, is that something that you plan to do temporarily or you plan to do it long term?
Well, I've been doing it 6 years.
Okay, so you know, do you plan to do something else, or do you feel like this is a platform for what God wants you to do as a minister?
I feel like God's going to put me in another place.
Okay, so in another place where you won't be doing music?
I'll be doing music a long time. Because I believe that's a gift that God has for me.
Okay. That's what I wanted to get you to answer. Here's why. It is difficult. I'm going to tell you right now, it is very difficult to be a minister, to have a family, and to have to please all of them and still meet your obligations. It is difficult. But I'll tell you why it's difficult. For to whom much is given, much is required. You see, in the church, Rod, and I think this might help you, the church is, I always say the church is very myopic, which means it just looks at things one way through a very narrow tube. You know, it is. It's just, everything for the church, the majority of the things that we teach are either or. You're either going to be a good husband or you're going to be a good minister. You're either going to be good to God or good to the family. You're either going to be, you know, good to the church or good to work. But the mastery of a human development is that you can do more than one thing well. Now, it takes managing, it takes time management, yes. It takes resource, yes. It takes all of that. But the bottom line is that the most productive people are the folks who do more than one thing well. In the church, we teach, okay, when you're home, you can do nothing but take care of the family. Who does that? And as your kids get older, they don't want you in their lives like that anyway. But who does that? We do that because we think things have to be either or. Instead of saying, okay, God, I need the grace. The more you're called to ministry, the more you're going to need the grace to handle increases and influx in your life. Otherwise, why do ministry? What's the point? Because ministry is not for you. Ministry is for other people, a group of people. That's why you do it. And so if you feel, this is about your willingness to do three things. Number one, to commit to the demands of your calling. Number two, to reconcile the fact that you're not going to be just a minister. You're going to be a minister and a husband and a father and an employee. That's how it's going to be. And the most important thing is to seek out wisdom and models for people who are already successful at this. Because most of what holds us back is our preconception of what we think ministry ought to be. And that's the difficult part. And to me, I am perceiving that you are expecting it to be some sort of smooth sailing when, in fact, it's a balancing act every day. Now, I don't know what your marriage is like. I don't know how your family is factoring into it. And on this call, I can't explore that. But I will tell you this. If you think God has called you to do it, then there should be no cost to you to working it out. And I don't say that lightly. I say that as one who had to do it all, and to do it all with hardly any help. But you know what? To whom much is given, much is required. And if you feel that you're going to always do ministry and then that God is going to diversify that and also bring you into something else, then you are going to have to master balancing all of your responsibilities like every giant does. You're going to have to master family time and marriage time and work time and study and preparation time. And that means one thing and one thing only, less time for you. And that's the real world. That's just how it goes. And we in church still trying to sell you guys on the you can have it all and you can't, or you can do it all and you can't. You do the things that must be done. You schedule the things that can be postponed to a later time, but most importantly, you realize that it's a life call. You're giving your life to this thing. And everything that you name is a life call, which means you have a very busy life. Are you there, Rob?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here. I'm listening.
Okay.
I'm supposed to be teachable. I have to be teachable. I'm listening.
Well, good. So in being teachable, there's a couple of things I want to tell you. As far as if you need to get training or get yourself a coach or mentor to take you to the next dimension of music, do that. Just realize that's another life demand. You're going to have to do that. But the biggest thing that I hear, and I deal with this with so many people that I use in ministry, we as leaders have got to establish, and I think you have leadership potential, we have got to establish how far a person is willing to go to succeed, to be good at what they do. And you have to answer that question yourself. Am I just going to be happy being this church musician? That's fine. And there is nothing wrong with that. But even that, if I'm going to do this, am I going to give it 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold? Am I going to give them my best, or am I going to give them the least? And that's a decision you make. And once you make that decision, all of the obstacles and opposition, they're just like flies that you swat. You just got to move through them. And that's what I hear God is saying for you. You are the decision for you. You're that one that Jesus said, let it be unto you according to your will. If you want to be great, he says, I'm here to make you great. If you want to be okay, adequate, I'm here to see to it that you're adequate. If you want to be able to master your world, I'm here to show you how to do that. If you want to sit, if you want to be here and decide that I want to do a little of this and a little of that, I'm here to make you do that. But for you, the Holy Spirit is with you. He's waiting for you to say how much you want to give and how well you want to be at what he's entrusting to you. This is God waiting for you. Because he said, I'm not going to force this on you. It has to be. And if it does, and I'll tell you the development of this. If you are one of those people that God says, I'm not going to force it on you, it's because he knows that forcing you is only going to cause you to be grudging and resentful down the line. And eventually you will inevitably just decide I'm not going to do it, or you're going to become poor at it anyway. God wants you to partner with him, and he wants you to make a decision to walk with him and to enjoy his walk with you. And that is something you must decide. Now, what happened with you and God to bring you out to this place, I cannot say at the moment. But I will tell you this. Whichever way you go, God said to tell you, I am with you.
Amen.
So, praise God. But remember, whatever decision you make, you're going to set, literally, you're going to set it in stone almost for your life. And you better make sure that the frustration you feel today is worth the decisions you will make to relieve it for a long time in the future. I used to say to my team, and I think Prophet Ashley can speak to it because I used to say to her all the time, make sure that you're looking, you just need a day off and not a new job. You know, make sure you just need a vacation and not a, you know, a evacuation or leaving the job or leaving your position. Sometimes we just need a few days to rethink things and to retool and refire ourselves up. And most times, particularly when we're working in ministry for our church, we make a lifetime decision on a short-term or momentary frustration. And so for you, I think God is saying to you, take a few days, catch your breath, spend some time with him, and see how you want to proceed.
Okay.
Once you do that, it's going to make sense to you. But I don't get God giving you an either or ultimatum or anything like that. He wants you to make this decision yourself of your own free will. And you have to prioritize what's important, who's important, and how you want to do what you do. But however way you plan it, I will tell you this much, you're going to be kind of locked in that for several years to come, at least 10. So make sure whatever judgment calls, whatever preparations you take, how you resolve home, how you get peace with the wife, and how you bring calm to the kids, make sure it's something that you want to run on for a long time. And I think you're going to make the right choices. I do believe that. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking. So I'm going to pray for you now, and we're going to see where God goes in that. But I would tell you that for you, you're at a major crossroads in your life for your manhood, for your ministerial calling, even for your husbandry and your fatherhood. all of that, you're at a crossroads because God is looking for you to learn how to synergize. And that's something that you're going to have to trust him to do. You have to find out how to make it all. Huh?
God is looking for me to learn how to do what?
To make it all work together as one, synergize. That's what he means. When God said he works all things together as one, that's your call right now. How are you going to work it all things together for the good of what you're called to do?
Okay.
That's your call today. And that's why you called me, because he's going to tell you how to do it. When he says he, for God worketh all things together for the good, that is my, that's for us to learn to do. In other words, he's saying, I got a lot of things going, like you. I got a lot of balls in the air. I got to make sure I drop none, and they all land where I need them to land on time. And that's you. You're going to have to learn how to make keep them all going and making sure that when they land when they should, where they should, on time. And you can do this. I don't know why God is talking to you this way, but you probably know, but you can do this. But you're going to have to give it a lot of thought.
Okay.
Father, thank you for Rod. I thank you for who he is, God, and all of the things that you have in his life. I thank you for his family. I bless his home. I bless his children. I bless his wife. I bless the work that you've given him to do, even the hands for the music that you've given him to play. Now, God, I'm asking that you would order his steps and show him how to prioritize all of the, not just responsibilities, but the entrustments that you've given him. Because that he would see them as trusts, God, and not just as duties. And I ask that you would make it plain for him and give him the strength and the grace. He needs the grace and he needs the strength and fortitude to make it all work together for the good. And, Lord, he needs your wisdom. So I'm asking that you would show him, God, in any number of ways, how to bring it all to pass, how to work it all out, and how to bring your glory out of it and the full contentment of himself and his family and his household in the midst of it all. And I praise you for it. And I thank you for doing it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Rod. Keep me posted. I'll be glad to hear how it works.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, too, okay?
Yes. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ashley.
Yes, that was all so good. I tell you, sobering times we live in, Dr. Price.
Yeah, yeah. Do you remember when I had to have those kinds of chats with you guys?
Oh, yeah.
You should talk about, wait a minute, now I'm not trying to leave. I just want to figure it out for the moment.
Right, just need 48 hours, find myself, clear my head, take some vitamins, take a few naps. Not talking about a new vocation, thank God.
Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to let you give us some announcements and tell the people about some of the things we've got going on, and then we'll return.
All right, well, we have the Apostolic Summit coming up in August. We have passed August. November 21st through the 24th, we're going to be here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. September 10th is the last day for the buy one, get one. And so you want to get on board with that deal. For $125, two people can come to the summit. You don't want to miss that. This is Thursday, and that means that we have an in the classroom this evening in which you can register for the class. Tonight's lesson, and I have a snippet, of course, is called The Soul of Success, Breaking the Chains of Self-Sabotage. And I tell you what, Dr. Price, you have hit on so many things today that you touch on in that lecture that you gave about breaking the chains of self-sabotage and how many ways we sabotage ourselves, don't prepare for our future, we don't think about our posterity, what we are leaving behind for our children, how much we don't operate in wisdom, we operate in our emotions. So it's a powerful teaching. And I have to say, and Dr. Price has said it for years, that I was able to advance faster than most in my ministry training and development, one, because Dr. Price, of course, is my mentor, and two, because I edited the teachings. And so I listened to every teaching she did, especially in the early years, no less than two or three times a week, and now doing the in the classrooms and other editing. And that word does transform you. It does conform you. Prophecy is not enough to get you to where you need to be. You have to put in the time. You have to humble yourself and take the classes. You have to plug in and get involved. And if I could tell anybody anything, register for these classes because they will truly change your life. It's deeper even than the radio shows because Dr. Price is able to go point for point through these issues. The theme for tonight is Wisdom for Living. And so that's why we're having the Soul of Success. It's in that series. And if you're anybody, I don't know anybody who hasn't sabotaged themselves at one time or another, and you keep repeating those cycles, you need to go to drpaulaprice.com this evening or tomorrow or the day after that. It'll be available. And register for that class. Pay the money and take the class and invest in yourself, invest in your own future. So here, Dr. Price, is a clip from that session about self-sabotage.
And right now, your best interests are too important to you. But see, God, you don't understand. I need to have my so-and-so, God, my car notes due. Lord, I mean, I need that. God's like, and? But he said, seek ye first the and then will. So we're not getting all these things because we're not seeking the righteousness of God. And if we have a righteousness, it's not the righteousness of the kingdom of God. But it's our own righteousness. Paul said, we ought to not be found having our own righteousness. That's the worst way for God to find you, is in your own righteousness. See, did anybody get that? See, I want, hey, God is setting some people free today.
Yes.
See, he said, you are not to be found in God, it clothed in your own righteousness. Because all of your righteousness is as filthy rags. It's like your old outdated clothes. He said, but you need to put on the robe of righteousness. See, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is death. Now, hear me. I'm going to go someplace. The end thereof is. Now, what is he saying? God is saying if you constantly keep living and reliving the death of things, it is because he's showing you your way kills. Kills your hopes. Kills your dreams, kills your seed, kills your efforts. People go to church for one of two reasons, to do God or to be affirmed in themselves. Most people want to be affirmed in themselves. Here's why. They think life is hard enough already, so they don't want to go to a church that's going to make it harder. Because they will only do wisdom, they will only do life intelligently when they're forced, which means on their jobs. Outside of their jobs, they will not do right. And many of them don't do right in the job, which is why they keep getting fired. So, I want you to hear me. Because you have to ask yourself, what kind of person will you be? Who are you crafting? Not just for your future, not just for the Lord, but for your family. Because as a failed adult, you will have a failed family. Your children cannot have a better hope than the one you have for yourself. Y'all love me still? Hallelujah.
Scandal, deception, secret affairs, misappropriation of funds, nepotism, promotion without training or experience. Sound like Hollywood or perhaps Wall Street? Unfortunately, this has become more and more commonplace in the body of Christ. As a result, many people have lost faith in their leaders and no longer trust those put in place to watch over their spiritual growth. It's time for God's ministers to take back the ground that has been lost and provide qualified, competent, verifiable leadership that his people can rely on. So what is the first step to making this a reality? The answer is ministerial credentialing. Credentialing attests to the qualifications, competence, or authority that a person has in a particular field. Diplomas, degrees, certifications, and licenses are all a part of credentialing. Though credentialing programs exist for pastors, teachers, and evangelists, there is very little available to properly credential apostles and prophets until now. Dr. Paula Price, New Era Apostleship Restitution Council, and Kingdom Embassy University present CLOCK, our credentialing program that stands for Certification, Licensure, Ordination, and Commissioning. Whichever is appropriate for your calling or area of kingdom service, we have a program for you. Get trained and receive a certificate of completion or achievement, a license to perform or function in a ministry capacity, ordination to a designated ministry office, or commissioning to discharge an advanced professional ministry post. Take the first step today by going to www.ppmglobalresources.com and taking a ministry assessment questionnaire to find out where you fit and what kind of training you need. Be a part of the solution and make sure you are a leader that God and His people can rely on. Visit www.ppmglobalresources.com today. Don't miss the annual Apostolic Summit with Dr. Paula Price. Join us for a weekend of explosive fivefold ministry training, apostleship branding, apostolic and prophetic collaboration, kingdom leadership, strategy sessions for the upcoming year, and so much more. If you are an apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor, evangelist, ministry leader, or apostolic student, then this event is for you. You will enjoy a variety of dynamic speakers during both the classroom-style sessions and the general sessions, as well as personal ministry and prayer. Call now to register and reserve your place. Special discounts are available. Call 877-419-1299 for more information or visit www.drpaulaprice.com to register today.
All right, and we are back with the Paula Price Show, doing what the Paula Price Show does with Dr. Paula Price.
And do we know what we do?
Yeah, you know, I just love your name, Dr. Price. It just rolls off the tongue for what you're called to do. The Paula Price Show, you know?
Yeah, I know. And guess what? I didn't even come up with it. But, you know, I love it when God gets somebody else to name it, because you know what that means.
That's right.
That means that He is the one that's calling it what it is to Him. Well, we've been having a great time today. I've enjoyed our callers. I'm sure that we have time for a couple more, but I'm enjoying what God is doing with our show today. So while I'm still on a roll, and I am on a roll today, let us take another call.
Well, excellent. Since we're rolling, this is Jill from your stomping grounds, Dr. Price, from New Jersey. And she says she gets words early in the morning that she believes are for the wider body, but she doesn't have a platform outside of her family and friends around her. And so she wants to know what direction she should move with that. Should she pursue a public ministry or what? So Jill from Jersey, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Dr. Paula Price.
Good afternoon. How is my home state?
Your home state is great. It's sunny here. It's beautiful. The people are a little, you know how New Jerseyans are, but
it's Jersey.
That's right. So it's good. So my question for you is, so early in the morning I receive messages from the Lord, and He says, "Tell my people." That's how it starts off, and the words are really big and broad. In fact, I just got one on the 4th at 5 o'clock in the morning, and it was a big word. And, you know, I'm a leader at my church, but I'm not a minister. I basically talk to my family and my friends about what I hear the Lord speaking in this hour, but that's it. So I didn't know if I should be asking, you know, Lord, to give me a platform, because I don't know what the implications of that, you know, would mean. So I guess I'm just kind of looking for directions as to how I should pursue, because the word I just got is incredible, and I don't know what to do with it.
Okay, so let me ask you this. I want to go back to one statement you made. You said that you are a leader in your church, but you're not a minister. What type of leader are you?
I'm a deaconess.
Okay. So you have that. So great. Now, and how long have you been in that position?
3 years.
3 years. Good. Let me just tell you. So does your church, does it have a place for prophecy or visions or anything like that?
No, it does not. And what the Lord has spoken to me in regards to that is just through prophetic prayer. Just pray. Just, you know, whenever you're called upon to pray, pray what you hear the Holy Spirit speaking. So that's it.
Okay. Well, I kind of felt that. That's why he was just chatting with you the way he is. A couple of things are happening to you, Jill. The first thing that is that when God starts doing that, he doesn't always mean for the now. For example, a lot of what I'm saying today and what I've said over the last 10 years, God gave me an 82.
Okay.
All right? But I record. So a couple of things he wants you to do. Number one, when God does that kind of thing with anyone, he's letting you know that he's opening your ear to hear.
Okay.
And so that's number one. Number two, he's also programming you with his thoughts and his mode of communication. No, he wants you to write it out so that you have a journey. So because a lot of times when you get a word, you, even if you had a platform, Jill, you, nobody would listen to you. They wouldn't believe you heard from God because you don't have a name. So oftentimes he's giving you a word that you're going to hear one of his other leaders say publicly, and you're going to say, man, God gave me the same thing. I don't understand why I didn't get an opportunity to say it, because it's for you to hear and for you to learn and you to recognize so that you'll begin to measure what words are God and what's not. Because the minute you get out there or you start doing this in a public setting, you're going to get words from God and his enemy, and you're going to have discernment to know the truth. So that's the next thing. I don't know if you've read my book, The Prophet's Dictionary or The Prophet's Handbook.
May I have both.
Okay,
I've read both.
Okay, now did you take the assessment? So you're halfway there.
No, I have not taken the assessment.
Okay, so you're going to do that so you will know how God is getting ready to shape you. Now, I wanted to get those out of the way before I forgot. So let me tell you how this is working. In the book of Samuel, God is waking up Samuel to speak. And so he wants, Samuel's accustomed to it. He doesn't say that he's not sure it's not God. He doesn't know if it's God for him now, because God doesn't just speak to you for the very first time. But God has this really awesome word for Eli.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the word that Samuel gives, we always preach how Samuel gave that word when it was time for him to get up and it was right and accurate. But you got in Scripture, you got to read back a couple of chapters. When you read back earlier, God gave that word to an established prophet first. He sent, the scripture says he sent a man of God to him. Usually, when you talk about sending a man of God, that's a chief prophet. That's a person over a lot of other prophets. That's typically what that means in the prophetic vernacular. Now, I know that we use it differently, but in the prophetic vernacular, that's what they meant. They meant a chief prophet over a company of prophets or even a regional prophet. So he sends this established prophet to tell Eli God's getting ready to get him. He's sick of him. He's going to wipe out your line. You know how it is. He turns around, and Eli, you know, Eli's 90. He's been messing up with God for a long time. So he goes, and Eli, they go to bed, and then maybe a short while after, God gives the same word to Samuel. Why? Because God wants Samuel to know that he's heard from him. And Eli has to have a reason to listen to Samuel. See, God will keep giving you words, but until he creates a platform, he's wanting you to get accustomed to him. This is your private training.
Yeah.
I think in my handbook, talk about the private training that God gives you. Now, understand, if he continues to do this, when God is ready for you to speak, two things are going to happen. A, he's going to give you a platform, and B, he's going to prepare the people to hear you.
Okay.
So you continue to pray, and you continue to pray. If the Lord creates an opportunity for you to get some training, which you can do after you do the assessment, we do some training to help you get ready, especially for people like you who are not in a prophetically established church. You're going to need some help, okay? So my company, PPM Global, is ideal for that, to give you that training one-on-one. You don't even have to worry about a classroom. One-on-one training so that you have an outlet for that without having to leave your church.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because that's what we exist for. We're not trying to pull everybody out because we don't know that God doesn't have it in the plans for 5 years from today to flip your church. We don't know that.
Right, yes.
So I would suggest when you take your assessment, what happens is you'll get that. You'll get a 30-minute advisement. You'll be able to talk to one of our advisor prophets, and you'll be able to get on a program. You can stay in your church, continue to listen to God, get some guidance. Once a year we do a prophet's forum. You get a chance to come and swim in the pond with the other prophets. It's an amazing arrangement, and it sounds like to me, Jill, you're ideal for it. So when you jump the call, you're going to go to drpaulaprice.com. You're going to take that assessment, and we're going to start mentoring you in the prophetic because we exist for people like you.
Okay. I have a question.
Okay.
In your ministry, is there an opportunity to share what you hear the Lord speaking and then someone confirms that, or is there any of that that takes place?
Well, I'm not talking to you about my ministry right now. My company, PPM Global Resources, is a apostolic prophetic coaching company. Actually, it's fivefold ministry. So that's a company. You'll get an opportunity to get a lot out once you get on a program.
Okay.
But for the record, I want you to hear me, Jill. Listen to me. I want you to listen carefully. I want you to put your Georgia ears on and hear me. The giving words is like preaching sermons in the prophetic. That's not the only thing you do. Your pastor, in order to bring you a Sunday sermon, has to go through a whole lot of things throughout the week to earn the right and the privilege to stand before you on Sunday and to even know that you, A, will attend, and B, will hear. So don't make that the essence, and that's why you want to get involved and take this assessment, and you want to get involved in PPM Global because we are going to teach you all of the other support systems that go with receiving those words and delivering them.
Okay.
There's an infrastructure to prophecy that we ignore, and that's what we do here. We bring you into the entire infrastructure of prophesying.
Okay.
So there's propped up by more than a feeling.
So
that's what we want to do. Keep your journal, take the assessment, sign up for a program, and let's see where this is going to take us.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Let me pray. You know, you can't go without some prayer. I got to cover you. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. I bless you, dear God, for who you are. I bless you for what you have called this young woman to do. I thank you, Lord, for just priming her for that next staff that you're getting ready, that next cadre of prophesiers and prophetic people that you're getting ready for your kingdom. I thank you, Lord, for giving her the peace to walk out the program and to become thoroughly equipped and thoroughly outfitted for every good work associated with the words that you are sharing with her now. In Jesus' name, and I speak peace to her about it. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Have a blessed
You're
day.
You're very, very welcome. You too. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Amen. Joe from Jersey. It just rolls off your tongue, doesn't it?
I love it, doesn't it? It's really great. I love hearing from my home folk. I don't hear from them a whole lot, but I appreciate it because, you know, I sowed a lot of seeds in Jersey and along that eastern seaboard. So it feels good to hear from them every now and again.
Oh, yeah, and I love her. Yep, you know, the people are the people.
I know, right? Yeah, well, you know, it's Jersey. What can I say? Jerseyans are Jerseyans.
Jerseyans, yes. All right, well, your next caller is Sonia from Alabama, and she has some things going on in her personal life today, Dr. Price. She's calling for direction and financial breakthrough. So, Sonia from Alabama, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hi. Hello.
Hi, Sonia. I almost didn't hear you. Were you on mute?
I think I was.
I'm glad you called today, Sonia. How can I help you?
Yes. I was just calling for prayer for direction. for my life. There's a lot going on right now, and I've just really been seeking God for his direction and his guidance for my life at this point.
Sonia, are you in school?
No, and that's one of the things. That's one of the things that I've really been praying about here lately. It's been in my heart for some time now, but I just wasn't quite sure if that was the direction that I was supposed to go in.
Well, there's a couple of things. Were you in school before and dropped out?
No, it was years ago. It was been so long ago. About 19 years ago, I was in school, and I just stopped going.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go back. I just stopped going. I went to school for something else, but I didn't complete that.
Okay. And you do realize that for you, that short circuit is your destiny.
That's what?
That short circuit is your destiny.
Okay.
Because here's what happens. Some of our destiny is tied to not just completing the education or mm-hmm. all the educational experience. Some of it is tied to the connections that we would have made.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, because oftentimes we think that destiny is just about us being ready, us getting our gifts and we hearing from God. But you realize nothing happens in this planet single-handedly. We all need somebody or some connection to help us get where we have to go. And one of the things you get out of college is a lot of contact with people who are like you, want to be successful, plan to be successful, and will be, you know. And so, you know, what they may say about you as just a wonderful friend is one thing. What they say about an alumna is something different. So part of what happened with you was that you needed to have finished that process. God is putting it back in your mind. You can't let it go because that's unfinished business for you.
Wow.
And so you feel like you keep going in a circle. Start, stop, yes. Start, stop. I got it. I don't have it. This is it. Oh, I thought it was it. And so you need to finish that in your life.
Okay.
Wow. Now, when you finish, you're going to be surprised not only over the things that will open up for you, because quite a few things will open up, but the connections. You need connections. That's why you feel barren and you feel isolated. You
yes.
need connections. You, because you somehow or another, and sometimes we do it in church, sometimes it just is our natural way, we feel like, bless God, it's us against the world and we can do it on our own. And if so-and-so did it, I can do it too. But see, mm-hmm. you don't know all that so-and-so does in the background to make sure mm-hmm. that public success is evident to all. So I would suggest to you right now that if it's at all possible, you need to finish your education.
Okay.
And your life is different. You've lived a lot of life. You've covered a lot of ground. You also learned the wisdom of an education. Because you're bright, and yes, you can capture a lot of things on your own. You're quick with jobs and things like that, but they never, ever respect you because you need that degree. So they'll work you like a slave, but you're never going to get the respect for it.
Okay.
So you need to do that. Now, I know that you think it's about ministry, but for you, this is bigger than ministry. This is you wrapping that up in your soul.
Okay. Yes.
See, it's not about ministry for you right now. And so you go to school now. You might want to, I mean, of course, obviously you'll need a part-time job or whatever else that is. We'll pray toward that end. But I want you to recognize that for you, because there's something about how you stop going and the reason you stop going that's nagging you, and you've not had peace with that.
Yeah.
And so we need to go and close that out. See, so it's more than you're not going. You've got quite a bit with time to that whole season of your life.
Okay.
All right? So you're going to do well. I'm telling you, and it's not going to be anything. You're smarter. You have a lot of life experience, a lot of career experience to fall back on to help this stuff click for you better than it did back then. And the family circumstances and the social circumstances that fueled your not completing, they're gone.
Hmm.
So you can do it today.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Well, you know, yes.
What were you about to say, Sonia?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, one of the things as far as me going back to school, you know, even now I was looking at, you know, my financial situation. And I think for me that was one of the drawbacks. Not looking at, I guess not looking that I will provide and trusting him, but looking at what I didn't have so that I could. And so, and also, you know, ma'am.
Well, finish your thought.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, when I did stop going to school, you know, 19 years ago, I thought, you know, I kind of was feeling like I was, what I was going for, I was not connected to. You know, I was only going because someone had told me to get involved in it. But here lately, there, I feel like the Lord's been showing me something. Like, you know, I'm driving on my daughter to whatever. Felt like this billboard at this particular, that was advertising for this particular college. And I really drew my attention, was drawn to it. And I felt like the Lord was using that to direct me into the area where, because I didn't know exactly, you know, what to pursue when I did go back to school. I kind of had some idea, but I wasn't 100% sure.
I understand. Well, a couple of things I would say to you today, because, you know, this is a whole new world today, and I'm going to be honest with you when I tell you that today you can go to school online. You don't have to worry about it. You can pay a course at a time. You know what I mean? You can do that online. They've got, I mean, I have a blast with a whole lot of those free classes they have. And, I mean, they're good training and good teachers. And some of them are even certificate-based, which will help you get a better job. But the point that I'm saying to you right now is that it's a new world. The second thing I want to say to you is that when God wants you to do something, he is not asking, telling you he wants you to do something, hoping he can work it out. He's telling you for you to start seeking him for the solution and the providences that he's already prepared. So he has to get our mind thinking on his will so that we'll start praying for his provision.
Okay.
So you were not certain that school was the solution for you right now. That is something that this call has done for you. It has told you school is your solution for all of those reasons. And you have quite a bit to offer your society today. You have a lot of experience, a lot of you have a lot of empathy. You know, there's so many things that you can do. I just see, you know, off the cuff, one would think you should teach, but I see that you do better at counseling or mediation or something along that line, because that seems to be your particular spirit.
Yes.
But, you know, even if you went to school for paralegal, you'd do well, because you'd be great at it. That's just who you are. But I would, again, invite you to take our assessment, because it would give you some direction in who you are.
Yeah, I've taken it. It's, I had some questions. I just haven't taken the time to call back and speak with someone concerning it.
Well, you know, if you're going to be calling me to ask me questions like that, it would be nice if you called back your advisor and found out what your questions were.
Okay. Okay.
That's why we gave you an advisor, so that you wouldn't be at a loss for contact.
Okay.
Yeah, we want you to be connected, but we also want you to be able to fulfill destiny. You've got quite a lot that you can do. So whoever was your advisor, call back and say, okay, I just want to set up a meeting. I don't care if it's a 10-minute, 15-minute talk. Doesn't have to be long, but you don't have to. You know, we don't exist for a one-shot thing. This is not a one-shot deal. We mean it when we say we want to partner with you as you pursue and fulfill your destiny.
Okay.
All right. And I know a lot of people, they can't fathom that you know, we care like that, but we do.
Yeah.
We want you to succeed. And so, especially when you've been plugging along by yourself so long, all of these years, you're almost like, does anybody really care what we do? So when we're done, I want you to go pull out your paper, find out who your advisor was, and then go back and finish this thing. You should not still be in curiosity when you've walked that far into the process.
Yes. Okay.
Amen?
Amen.
All right. Father, thank you for Sonia. Thank you for her life. And, Lord, thank you for answering these things and settling these matters for her once and for all and getting her foot into the cement of destiny that she can finish it and walk it out, Lord, so that she knows that her purpose in this planet is fulfilled and her commitment and duty to you is handled and resolved once and for all. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless.
Thank you so much for the prize.
Oh, you're very welcome. God bless you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Well, Ashley, you know, I'm looking at the clock. Where am I in the time zone?
You are in the winded down time zone.
Okay. You know, I was having a blast. You know that, right? I was, you know, I was good. I was ready to go.
Yeah. You know, you made a statement to Jill when she was asking about should she have a public ministry and everything. And when you were talking about Samuel, that just answered something. It answered a question I didn't even know I had, which I'm sure is so many people on the Paula Price Show every week. Oh, yeah, that answers that. I didn't even know that was a question I had. But just how God will use that credible, established prophet to, even though he may give a word to you too. And so, you know, because so many times when you are that young prophet, and I say young as in either undiscovered, not necessarily chronological age, and you have this thing and you keep shouting it to the winds, and then somebody on TV says it and everybody says amen and stands up and claps and does all this other drama, and what do we walk around saying? But I've been saying that. But I've been saying that. You know, I said that too. And nobody wants to hear you. They're like, yeah. Anyway. And on to this giant who said it. And so that just answered so many things about that prophet's experience of how I said that too, and it's like nobody heard you.
And you realize that's actually so good that you pointed that out. In our last few minutes, I would like to address it. You know, we've been taught that everybody's ministry is valid and credible, and nobody is challenging that. But not everybody's ministry is respected or ready to be respected. And so you can, you know, we can talk about, well, you know, I just think that this big guy shouldn't be there, and this big person, who do they think they are? And I got a word too. Well, having a word is almost like the microcosm of the entire infrastructure, because God needs people to hear him. And he has to prove to people that you listen to him in order for him to empower them to listen to you. That's a whole cycle of development. And so you're not going to walk up to an Eli. You know, we think of Eli. To us, Eli is a three-letter word in a book of the Bible. That's who he is to us. But to the nation, he was at the top. And you don't walk up to the head of your nation or anyone in your headship of your nation and say, God gave me a word. Even though Eli trained Samuel, he still was not trained to listen to Samuel prophetically. And that God had to arrange. And so, because if we are speaking for God, then we ought to be committed to how God wants to get people to listen to us. And that's a training, it's pruning, it's trial, and you know what it is. I mean, I don't even have to tell you, and I'm sure many of us listeners know as well. So to disrespect the those that are holding the fort, the forerunners and all of that, is to literally shut yourself down. Because God's favorite word, and I'll say this on it, and I'll wrap it up because I know it's time for us to get out of here, but I'll say this. You cannot ask God to give you a position that you disrespect someone else in it, because either you respect his institutions and how he's doing it or you don't. You cannot tell God to cause people to listen to you when you don't want to listen to what he's got going on. It's a team thing.
My goodness.
It's a team thing. It's a team effort, and God works with the established systems he has in place. When he brings somebody outside the ranks, he's not bringing you outside the ranks to tear down what he did. He's bringing you outside of the ranks to handle his issues, and that's very different. So this was great. You know, leave it to you to open that can of worms when we got like 2 minutes left to go, you know?
I'm always packing a can opener, Dr. Price.
I mean, you popped that fizz, and you knew that was a hot button for me. So you decided, let me just keep her going.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we have only 2 minutes left. I want to take this time to thank everyone who has joined us today. I want you to know I value you. I love you. We do pay attention to you. We read about you and listen to your comments on Facebook. I read them. You know that I do. LinkedIn. We are on the Twitter. Wherever you are, I listen to you. I want you to understand that we're doing this because we know God wants great things to happen in your life, and sometimes you just need a little more help and another little bit of strength to push you right over the top. So until next time, God bless you, and thank you for joining us.
Support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time fee or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.